and the situation as it is unfolding from Washington, D.C., all the way around the world. There is certainly a conspiracy that is going on, but I do want you to be focused upon the real conspiracy. Yes, Twitter, Facebook, and others have sought to silence the President of the United States. There are individuals that think that the verbiage of the President too damaging to even be heard among the American people. Now, whether or not you support the President is really not about the conspiracy to silence. In fact, I could care less whether or not you do support the President of the United States. That is not the purpose of this program, but it's even deeper and richer than that, my friend. Sometimes we fail to understand and to appreciate and to value the true conspiracy to silence that is out there. There has been a conspiracy to silence the Son of God from the moment that he began to declare his message and walk through the streets of Jerusalem and through the countrysides of Judea almost 2,000 years ago. But my friends, that conspiracy did not begin 2,000 years ago. It began much further back than that. It began in the garden with man. It began in the conspiracy of the devil to divide the fellowship that man had with God. Now, the opposition to Christ ultimately led to his crucifixion. He predicted it. He predicted that it would happen. It was predicted well before his birth, and the event was anything but random. It was a cleverly plotted, orchestrated, and foreseen prophetic event. And so the conspiracy to silence today, make no doubt about it, it is not just about conservative versus liberal. It is not about Democrat versus Republican. There is a conspiracy to silence truth. In fact, any time that someone says with cognitive understanding, when they say, to me, it means, to me, it says. There is no to me in regards to truth. Truth is truth, whether or not you and me agree with it or not. So what we want to do is we want to say, well, to me, it says. Well, to somebody else, it might say something different. No, it says what it says. Truth is an objective moral standard. It is not related to whether or not you and I happen to agree with it. Truth is truth, and it does not depend upon me. So the events that are unfolding are nothing more than events that have been playing out since the beginning of time. And I hope that you are going to be able to join us today for the full program as we talk about the conspiracy to silence. Now, my friends, I'm glad that you are able to join us, and what a privilege it is, as I've mentioned over the last couple of programs, to be able to study the riches of the divine word, to be able to understand to appreciate how the divine word plays out in our daily lives. It is a shame that we do not have men of Issachar among us. Or maybe I should say, it is a shame that the men of Issachar are being silenced among us. But in 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse number 32, the Bible speaks of the men of Issachar, which were men that had understanding of the times, to know what Israel ought to do. That is a key and beautiful statement, that men should know about the times that they are faced with. We should understand the times. When men look at the weather patterns. They are able to predict to some extent into the future about what the weather is going to do. Jesus made reference to that as well. And yet men look today at the signs of the times and they are not able to read them. Well, again, we have several of our Bible students that are lining up, so I need to take this time at the very beginning of the program to apologize for our hasty exit from Facebook. I'm not apologizing for the exit. I believe that the conspiracy to silence is something that desperately needs to be addressed. It needs to be addressed with strength of fortitude, and it needs to be addressed by the millions of Americans that refuse to be silenced in regards to the voices of truth. And so today we are taking a break from our normal routine, and we are dealing with the concept of conspiracy to silence. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we go on. I do want to take our attention now. I have a different song for us today. Normally we have our regular song, Walking on Heaven's Road. Today I want to, you may be acquainted with this song by Brother Paul Mays, but I'm going to include it today, and it's a rather long song, so I don't know if we'll go all the way to the end of the song, but the song is entitled Arm in Arm, and so let's take an opportunity to listen to that song at this time.
Arm in arm, we labor on. The sword of God, it guides our lives towards the prize, eternal life. We labor on, arm in arm. Church said thank you for your service in His kingdom. Give us the crown of life. Hereby months till harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields. They are already white unto harvest. Arm in arm, we labor on. The sword of God, it guides our lives towards the prize.
My friends, different song, but still the same concept. We are laboring together in the kingdom of God for the work of God against the conspiracy to silence the Son of God and the truth of God in this world. I want to give an invite to all of those that are listening to our program today to the 22nd annual Standing in the Gap Lectures here at the Nesbitt Church of Christ. We meet at 685 Nesbitt Road every Sunday morning at 9 a.m. for our Bible study, 10 a.m. and 6 p.m. for our opportunities of worship, and we meet every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. But come January the 27th through the 31st, we're going to be having a special series entitled Come Now, Let Us Reason. If there was ever a time in which we needed to come together to reason rather than silencing the voices on truth, we need to come together to reason with God. And so one of the most needed global subjects for modern man is that we would learn how to reason. Here are some of the lessons that we're going to be dealing with. I mentioned in an earlier program that we're going to be dealing with the laws of rationality, the laws of reasoning, and we're going to be talking about the law of identity, the law of rationality, the law of excluded middle. We're going to be talking about the law of non-contradiction. You know, the law of identity is absolutely essential to the concept of truth, and either God is God or he is not. There is an identity in relationship to these things. Either this something is the truth or it is not the truth. It cannot be your truth and my truth. There is an identity issue that we face today. And so these lessons are going to be vitally important. We're going to be talking about the difference between exegesis and eisegesis. And this plays out not just in our reading of Scripture. It plays out in our everyday conversations. My friends, I do not have a right to read in to what you say. I have a responsibility to draw out only those things that you have stated or implied in your statement. And there are a lot of people who want to read into what somebody says. And so the law of identity then becomes very important. We're going to be talking about teaching the next generation to think. We have lost a generation or two as far as the thinking process is concerned. And so what are we going to do about it? We can whine, complain, we can stick our head in the sand, we can go away, or we can double our efforts to teach, learn and teach the principles of reasoning, and then to teach that next generation so that the next generation does not make the same mistakes as we have made in our generation in regards to that. Well, my friends, the New Testament is a pattern of thinking. It is a pattern for us to go by, and that becomes very important in the process of reasoning. Well, here's another lesson that we're going to have. How do we know How do we come to know things? You know, this is all. This has been a maybe a pet peeve of mine for some time in regards to how we come to know things. There are some who would suggest that the only way that we can know anything is through the scientific method. I've got to be able to put my hands on it. I've got to. It's got to fit within the empirical aspect of knowledge, and that's simply not true. There are other ways to know things and to know them as sure as anything else. So we're going to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about right reasoning and things such as that. So again, I want to give you the invitation to come and join us for the 22nd Annual Standing in the Gap Lectures. Come now, let us reason together, January the 27th through the 31st. And here we are in 2021, facing then the conspiracy to silence. But again, as I mentioned before, what we are talking about extends far beyond the borders of America and extends far beyond the borders of our own time zone or time frame. And we'll talk about that in just a minute, but I do want to I do want us to understand that this is something that you and I ought to be concerned about. It's not something that can be just set aside and said, you know what? It's not about us. Well, it is about us, and it's very important that we understand that it is about us, that it does fit our society, and we do need to understand how important it is for us to understand the conspiracy as it is unfolding before us. And so there are a couple of things that I want us to speak about in regards to this. Now, I have been dealing with this for some time now, even having seminars. And at one time, we did a whole daily broadcast in regards to reflections. One of the days was on what America really needs. And of course, the 22nd Annual Standing in the Gap Lectures, that's what America really needs. It really needs to know how to think, how to reason, how to present arguments and things such as that, so as to have an influence upon the society in which we live. And so, again, all of these things are things that we are talking about from a fundamental aspect. So you go back, let's talk about some fundamentals for just a second from a an American perspective, that is, from what's going on in today's society. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men... Now, first of all, there are truths that are held that are self-evident. That is, they need no argumentation to prove. It is self-evident. It is evident within the argumentation itself that men are created equal. And that they are endowed with and by their Creator. So we are a created being, and only by the right of creation are these self-evident truths that we are created equal. If there is no Creator, then there is no creation, therefore humanity is not equal. If we are but the desperate attempt of an evolutionary process for higher understanding and higher to be a higher being, then some of us can be greater, not equal, with the others. That is a proper concept in regards to that. You are not equal under the evolutionary scale of things. So if you take the Creator out and you take creation out, then you have taken out of the very premise of our nation that we are a people who understand as something that is self-evident that all men are created equal. No wonder then we have gotten to the point to where we are today because of the seeds of the evolutionary process of things. And all of the scientists and the philosophers, really more of them are philosophers than they are science. When they begin to talk about origins, they become philosophers and not scientists anymore. And so these philosophers and these philosophies have been seeded in the hearts and minds of people today so that there is no creator and no creation. Now with that, you have a lack then of the fact that there are anything such as unalienable rights. You see, these are endowed by the Creator in the creation process. So there are no inalienable or unalienable rights in regards to that. Now, as I've mentioned before, it's the idea among these are. Now, that's an important phrase. Don't mistake the transition phrases. Don't mistake the small words. An and is a very important word in the English language as a coordinating conjunction. The word or as a conjunction is a very important word. Well, notice this, that among these are. That phrase simply carries with it the concept that there are more than the ones that are actually listed. Among, that is, there are others, these are among them. Well, what are the ones that are listed? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. This was the very aspect of the Declaration of our independence. It was the preamble to that. It was the very basis upon which our founding father said that they had a right then not to follow the law of the land at that time. And the law of the land was from the King of England. And they are setting forth their case as to regress of argumentation and the fact that they were not being listened to at all. Well, now I want to transition between that because I believe that there is a very clear connection between the preamble to the Declaration of Independence and the amendments to the Constitution itself. Or the Constitution, Amendment Number 1, is one that we have looked at in times past. But I want us to think about this. Before our founding father said anything at all about quartering soldiers, about search and seizures, about the rights of persons to be held for a crime, any kind of civil trials, before they said anything about the right to bear arms, which would be the right to life and the right to liberty, those are rights that are fundamental. These amendments then demonstrate themselves as connected to these unalienable rights. So the rights of the amendments are not given to us by government. They are given to us by our Creator. What they are stating then is these are the means, the strategies by which those inalienable rights are maintained. And so notice here, before they said anything about bearing arms, before they said anything about the right to petition the government for redress of grievance, before they said anything about the right to peacefully assemble, before they said anything about the rights of the press or the rights of freedom of speech, here's what they said. This is the opening statement of the First Amendment to the Constitution of the United States. Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion. Now, it is understood that in the context of that statement, they are not talking about, I know it's interpreted that way, but in their context, they are not talking about Christianity versus any other religion. They're talking about in regards to religion. They're talking about denominationalism in that regard. But let's say that, let's give the application its broadest explanation today. Here's what I want you to notice, the word or. See, Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or, here's the ideal, Congress shall make no law prohibiting the free exercise thereof. So it is within the Constitution of the United States. That has been silenced in our classrooms. We no longer even teach courses on history and on government to where these principles are discussed openly and freely in our society. But it's even worse than that. We're not just talking about a conspiracy in America to silence Trump. I'm not talking just about a conspiracy in America to silence the Constitution of the United States. I'm talking about a conspiracy of evil to silence the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. In fact, what I want us to do at this time, because this is a Bible program, it's not one that is designed just for commentary. I love to listen to some of those programs that are commentaries on the Constitution, the Founding Fathers, and how that plays out today. But that's not our program. That's not our broadcast. Our broadcast is Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. So what are we talking about when we talk about this aspect of the conspiracy to silence? I want to turn our attention to Psalm 2. The second psalm, which according to Acts chapter 4, verse 25 and 26, clearly identifies this as a psalm of David. So this is a psalm of King David. And like many of the psalms, the emphasis of the theme is established in the final verses. So listen to verse number 11 and 12. Actually, let's back up to verse number 10 and we'll just read that and then we'll go back. Notice, be wise now. There's the conclusion. Be wise now, therefore, O ye kings. Be instructed, ye judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and ye perish from the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all they that put their trust in him. The theme of this psalm is, blessed are they that put their trust in the Lord's anointed. And so what I would like for us to do is to notice in verses 1 through 3, what we have before us is the range of nations that are conspiring against God and God's response to that. First of all, let's notice verses 1 through 3. Why do the heathens rage and the people imagine a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers take counsel together. There's the conspiracy against the Lord and against the Lord's anointed, saying, here is their conspiracy. Let us break the bands. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. So the nations, verses 1 through 3, are going to rebel against the sovereignty of God. Now, they assume that their confederacy will be enough to break the bands that of God's sovereignty. They believe that they can trust now in that conspiracy. So the question is asked, why do the heathens rage? The psalmist seems genuinely amazed at something. He's perplexed. He's mystified at this idea that the nations would even have a reason to rage against God. They have no benefit. Number one, they cannot overcome the sovereignty of God. The judgment day, regardless of how they live here, regardless of their time frame here, the judgment day is coming. In fact, there is a sermon that the Apostle Paul preached, and I have stated this before, that it's a sermon that every politician needs to hear. Now, far too many do not appreciate or value or even have any concept of the judgment to come. But I want you to listen as Paul reasons with Felix in Acts chapter 24 and verse number 25. He reasoned of, notice, righteousness. Felix, you are responsible to do the right thing. Every politician should be held to the standard of truth. There is a right way of doing things and there is a wrong way of doing things. And then notice temperance, the underhanded gifts under the table or the briberies or things such as that should be foreign to a individual given to such a high office. Even Moses warned of this with the ancient judges of Israel, that they should not seek to judge by bribery and or any kind of gift in association with that. If you scratch my back, I'll scratch your back. If you vote for my bill, I will vote for your bill. That's a wickedness that has impenetrated our. It's almost considered good politics today, and yet God calls it wickedness because it is in intemperance. But notice here, they're going to reason with the judgment to come, and so what could individuals gain if they set themselves up and rage against God? In fact, there is nothing that you could gain. You could gain a lot of things in this life, possibly. There are people who have lived their life contrary to the will of God, shaking their fist in the face of God, and they have lived their lives beautifully. And then what happens in the end? What happens when they die? Oh, it's not dead like Rover and you're dead all over. Oh no, there is an eternal soul within the bosom of every man. And with that eternal soul comes a day of judgment. And so why do the heathens rage? Their opposition against God is nothing but vanity, and it's nothing but a vain thing. Well, notice the psalmist also talks about the concept of them gathering their counsel together. Their conspiracy, confederacy, we might say. This is not anything new. It's not new today that there would be conspiracies among men, among nations. There were conspiracy. You know, since the time of Babel, there has been conspiracies where men have banded themselves together against God. For some reason, men feel more comfortable opposing the very will of God and the sovereignty of God when there is more than just one. So they are united. They think their chances are better. There are people today who think their chances are so much better if they can get the populace to agree with them. Every politician wants to lick his fingers and stick it up into the wind to see which way the wind is blowing. What's the popular? We take polls all the time. What's the purpose of poll taking? Poll taking is a popular thing today. Why? Because we are so fickle in our belief that somehow our belief should be determined by the populace. Otherwise, you are radical in your belief. You are a part of the right wing or left wing or whatever in regards to that. I don't care what wing you may put me on. The truth stands at the center of all things, regardless of whether or not we have a conspiracy against God and against His anointed. And so notice here, verse number 2, it is a conspiracy not only against the Lord, but also against His anointed. And so if Jesus Christ is God dwelling in human flesh, and He is, John chapter 1, verses 1 through 14. If Jesus Christ is the perfect representation of God here upon the earth, and He is, John chapter 10 and verse number 30, He Himself said, I and my Father are one. In John chapter 14 and verse number 9, with His own followers, He's disheartened because they don't understand that if you have seen me, then you have seen the Father. I and my Father are one. Jesus sought to glorify His Father on the earth. And in John 17, He prays that the Father would therefore glorify Him with the glory that He had with the Father before the foundation of the world. And so if you oppose the Father, you oppose the Son. The Son and the Father are together on this. There is a sweet fellowship between the Father and the Son. There is no disagreement with regards to the Father and the Son. So if you have a conspiracy to silence the Son, you are joining forces to silence the Father. And there in Psalm 2, you have this conspiracy that is being built up. The nations are raging against the Lord and His anointed during this time. So what is it that they seek to do in this conspiracy? You know, sometimes we are so caught up in the subterfuge that we forget about the real purpose behind conspiracies. Generally speaking, in fact, I was watching a program just last night, an older program in which the main character made this point. He said, do you know why magicians or illusionists, do you know why they have a beautiful assistant? It's not so that she can assist in getting this or getting that. It's because, generally speaking, in 99.9% of the time, people's eyes will be focused on the assistant. There is a reason why she is provocatively dressed as well, to draw the eyes away from what is going on in the illusion to her person. Well, we have to be the same way. Satan is a liar, John 8 and verse number 44. He's been a liar since the beginning. He presents himself as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians chapter 11. He has devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. He has wiles, deceptive items, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse number 10. And so when we're dealing with the confederacy of conspiracy to silence the Son of God, we're dealing with those who, on one hand, want us to look over here on the left while they're doing their damnable deeds on the right. So let's pay attention. What do they really want out of all of this? They want to break their bands in pieces. So notice verse number 3. Here's what the conspiracy says. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. In other words, we no longer desire for God and His anointed to rule over us. They see the Lord and the anointed as a bringer of bondage. It's an attitude that says, I want to be completely free. And there's an illusion there, but I want to be completely free to make my own decisions in life. Well, we see where that goes, right? Hopefully, we are able to see in the book of Judges, when every man does that which is right in his own eyes, then there is death, according to Proverbs chapter 14. There is a death in regards. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, Proverbs 16 and verse number 25, but the ways thereof is death, Proverbs 14, 12 as well. Jeremiah would state, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. Man does not have the capacity of and by himself to rule himself. And so this conspiracy, when you go back to Psalm 2, and you look at this conspiracy, it is a conspiracy to get rid of the things of God. In fact, I think I have right here, hang on, if you're watching this later, I have here, and I think I can find this quotation rather quickly, but with evolution, what do you suppose was the reason the scientific realm wanted to get rid of their allegiance upon Christianity and the Bible? Well, listen to Huxley as he writes and says, this is Adolf Huxley, he says, I had motives for not wanting the world to have meaning. Now listen to him very carefully. It's not an educated conclusion that he comes to. It is a personal motivation behind all of this to have the world without meaning. Consequently, assumed it had none. Because I wanted it to have none, I just assumed it had none and was able, listen very carefully here, and was able without any difficulty to find satisfying reasons, and I would put that in extra quotations, for this assumption. The philosopher who finds no meaning in the world is not concerned exclusively with a problem in pure metaphysics. He is also concerned to prove that there is no valid reason why he personally should not do as he wants to do. Listen to him very carefully now here. We objected to morality because it interfered with our sexual freedom. It didn't fit with our preconceived idea. It didn't fit with our desire. So we're going to give up on any sense of morality, and every man is free to pursue his own sexual immorality. Let us break their bands. Make note that there are reasons why people are doing what they're doing today. There is a reason for the conspiracy to silence. And we need to be men of Issachar today to be able to understand that. People think that God is a bondman. Well, I want us to consider this, and I know we'll probably run out of time before we finish this psalm. But in Romans chapter 6, there's an argumentation that is put forth on the Christian platform as to the fact that you and I are going to be the servants of someone. Who shall it be? What shall we serve? Who shall we serve? Now, the choice is not between God and self. Sometimes we think about it that way. Well, I can serve. No, you cannot serve yourself. That is not one of the options. So listen to him very carefully here. Listen to the argumentation. This is the Apostle Paul, maybe one of the greatest proclaimers of truth, especially in the written word, in regards to the inspired writings of the New Testament. And he's writing to the greatest city of his time. And he says, "Let not sin reign therefore in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof," Romans 6:12. "Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourself unto God as alive from the dead, and your instruments as righteousness unto God. For sin," see, he's personifying sin in this section, "sin will reign," or "God will reign. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom," listen very carefully to his argumentation, "know ye not that to whom you yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are whom you obey." Now notice the choices. Whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. That's it. That's the only choices that you have. That's the only choices that men have ever had. Men are not completely free moral agents to determine everything in their entire life. I don't get to determine when the sun rises up in my world. I don't get to determine when the sun sets, or whether or not it snows or rains, or whether or not the harvest comes in my life. Those are forces outside of my agency, my ability to act. I am not a completely free moral agent in that sense. I do not reign as sovereign over my world. Now, I realize that this comes as a shock to the center focus of our self-help world on conspire against the sovereignty of God in our life society. But my friends, you might want to break the bonds of peace. You might see God as a God of bondage, a God of restriction. This is how we normally, I don't want to be a part of religion and Christian. It's all those thou shall nots. Well, my friends, first of all, there are a lot of thou shall nots in Christianity, as well as in any system of life or death. But number two, those thou shall nots are designed for man's benefit. Is there a reason why the legal system tells us that I am not allowed to drive through a red light? How dare them set up a thou shall not system? Well, what is the red light and the green light there for? It's there for my benefit, so that when two vehicles traveling at a high speed of rate come to the same intersection at the same time, there is not a crash. life and limb are can be damaged at that particular point. So a system is set up of thou shall nots. Have you ever noticed that those people who are opposed to restrictions of God impose restrictions on others? You can't do this. You can't do that. They're always telling us about these things, right? Oh, there is a confederacy to conspire, to silence, not just our president on Twitter and Facebook and all the other social, or most of the social medias that are out there. Our news media has tried to silence him since the beginning of his reign. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, the most the leader of this conspiracy, she has, since the beginning of his presidency, tried to silence him. That conspiracy is nothing new. They seem to be gaining power. But the conspiracy behind all of that is not about Pelosi and Trump. It is about truth and error. It is about the Lord's anointed and the conspiracy to break the bonds of God and righteousness. There is a yoke that Christ has, no doubt. It should not be denied. But his yoke is a beautiful yoke. It's not a difficult yoke. In fact, notice with me how he himself talks about his own yoke. Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse number 28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I take my yoke. See, there's his yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest in your souls. See, sin is a hard taskmaster. Sin is something that brings death and despair. It never brings benefit, but Jesus brings rest. He brings how does he put it here? For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. If you compare the two yokes, these are the only two yokes that you have, my friends. It's not as if you have a choice between a multiplicity of yokes. Every other yoke outside of the yoke of Christ is a yoke that will burden you and will bring you to despair. Oh, you may enjoy some things in this life, that is true. But it is a yoke of despair and a yoke of death. So, in the very first section of Psalm 2, he lays out that this battle is not a simple battle that we rage. In fact, if you will note with me, in Matthew chapter 2, we find another stage. Remember, they are not only going against the Lord, but also his anointed. And so you remember in Matthew chapter 2, in the birth of Christ, that Herod wanted to destroy the influence of Jesus in this world before he ever grew to manhood. And he would slaughter children. In verse number 16, then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof that were 2 years old and under, according to the times which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then it was fulfilled which was spoken by Jeremy, that's Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah there was a voice heard, lamentations and weeping, and a great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, and would not be comforted because they are not. Herod sought to be a part of this conspiracy. And Herod died. And you see, my friends, let me close with this. You may seek to silence truth. You may seek to silence the propagators of truth, but you cannot silence the Son of God. Oh, you can attempt to. You can take him completely out of a society and rob all of those who preach the truth and teach it. You can take them out, but his truth will always exist. And in the hearts and minds of people around the world, there are still individuals. They understand this conspiracy and this confederacy to conspire to silence people today, people with the truth. And they don't want to hear the truth anymore. And they don't think that you have a right to say anything anymore. And they seek to cut you off. My friends, truth and true speakers shall never cease or shall never be silenced in any conspiracy. Take out our tongues and God will still speak. God bless and have a wonderful day today.